Welcome to the fifth and final pre-season Supercoach Coach podcast for season 2019. My name's Marcus, and I'm joined again this week by FB Donkey.
G'day, Marcus. Good to be back. It seems like footy is very close.
Barely days away now, and hopefully teams are starting to be a little bit more locked down. Of course, yeah. Still pending the rookie selections, but that's what we're planning to go through in this episode.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty hard to predict 5 days out even. Just never know what the coaches are going to do. So hopefully we can give some decent advice and get teams pretty close to where they need to be, and then they can just make a few late adjustments once the teams are announced.
And that's part of the skill of the game, I suppose. You can do as much preseason research as you want, but some of that on-the-fly decision-making when team sheets comes out does require some on the feet sort of thinking. And I think it at least helps that we get rolling lockout now. So you don't have to make the decision before the first game as we used to have to, Mark.
Yeah, but there will be a few rookies in that first game that you will be making decisions on, like Bolter, Gibbons, that sort of good player. So should make things interesting.
Before we get into the show, just a reminder for our listeners that we have recorded the first four episodes containing the positional show. So go back and have a listen through to those if you haven't already. We try and package the preseason podcast together as a series. So we cover each of the positions, and today is the rookie and recap show. And a thank you to all the new patrons that have joined over the last week. We've passed our mark last year, Mark. We had 250 patrons last year. And as of recording, I think we're about 260 now. So a huge thank you to everybody who's joined up and gotten involved in the Supercoach Coach Patrons community. We have recorded 5 bonus episodes so far, and we'll be recording a 6th bonus after this episode. The last bonus ep was actually Mark on for 15 minutes.
Yeah,
doing a quick recap, even though he couldn't quite join us for the main Defenders show. So go and subscribe and have a listen to that if you're interested. And a last call for our Supercoach Coach Leagues and our Supercoach Coach group. The links to that are on the podcast page. So get involved. It's not too late. I'll be posting some last chance unranked leagues in the lead up to lockout. So you can jump onto those if you still have slots left. And for our Patreons, don't forget to join onto the Patreon only group. We'll be awarding $250 to the overall leader at the end of the season, together with a Supercoach Coach cap and a stubby holder. So a bit of incentive and promoting a bit of competition within our patrons. And if we hit the 300 mark, which we've plugged previously, we'll also be giving $100 out to the winner of the highest weekly score, as well as the Supercoach Coach merchandise. So help us in our push to the 300 patrons. That'd be much, much appreciated.
Yeah, awesome. And if you want to join a cash league, you got my $100 group, winner takes all.
Basically, you can have more than 18 people join up, and the pool just builds larger and larger and larger. So first year running it, Mark, hopefully you get a decent amount and this might continue.
Well, yeah, I've got over 10 now, so hopefully it picks up a bit of momentum. I just wanted to win a bit more than 50K this year.
Love your modesty, mate. All right, before we get into the rookies and the recap show, I did want to touch on the defenders, specifically a couple of different players. The first is definitely very controversial, and that's Brody Smith. After last week's podcast, we got a heap of comments saying, why are we recommending him? Why are we even talking about him? He's just going to burn people again.
But so did you and Faz recommend Smith?
I actually said that at that price point, he would be tough to select, but I didn't rule him out.
Okay.
He's a low for me. He's swinging in and out my team as the sort of structure of my team allows for. If I have this spare 100K, you know, to take him up from, you know, Ridley, for example, I might. But he's not a certain in for me. Where do you sit on Brody Smith?
I've been really reluctant to bring him in. I've been sort of like on what the listeners have been saying, and the reason why you've been getting questions, that he is a bit of a burn merchant, and there's so much, like, he's got a few seasons there where he's averaged about 80, and that would be a very painful result. But I'm kind of thinking maybe as we go late into the preseason, unless I can get right up to a premium, I may need a mid-pricer in that spot. And realistically, with his really high ownership percentage and his JLT form, it's pretty hard to ignore. He scored 103 from 70 minutes in the first one and 97 from 73 minutes in the second one. And I know that there was a lot of scoring from the Crows, and they got a heap of the ball in those two games. But that's like, that's pretty hard to resist. Like, so if you said pre-JLT, what would you need Brodie Smith to do to bring him into your team? Like, that's pretty much exactly what I would need. Plus, he's got that price. Plus, he's really high ownership. I'm worried that come 4 weeks into the season, we're going to look back and think he was a really obvious selection. So, yeah, not a definite starter for my team. I think on the Patreon podcast last week, I said that he was fairly low chance of making my team, but I think my thought pattern has changed over the course of this week.
Yeah, I think the closer you get to lockout and you see a selection that, like you said, is so highly picked in the rest of the community, you wonder, what is the chance of this guy really burning me? But how do you sort of see him as you select him into your team? Are you seeing him as a bloke that you're going to keep? Presumably you are at 330K, or if you were forced to trade him out at some stage, is that something that you're including in your calculations? If he goes up enough in value and does a decent amount before he gets injured or before he drops off, would that still be an okay result?
Well, yeah, I guess that you sort of would move him to the sixth price defender and or the sixth defensive position. And I guess like if he's averaging 85, you're kind of okay with that. Like, it's not a great situation. It's pretty bad. You probably wish that you had a rookie and a premium, but it's not an awful result. And realistically, like, you might run out of trades and never get around to trading him unless he gets injured in that spot. But I like, that's sort of like a medium result. Like, I guess there's situations where he averages 75, gets injured, which is really bad, or he averages 90 plus and is a keeper. So there's a few scenarios that could work out. I don't see him like averaging 105 and burning me really badly and not having him. It's just, I don't know, like with the structures, I think that you can trade him out if he's not working, or you can keep him if he is. Like, you can correct if you have to with someone like Brodie Smith.
Yeah, that's the part I'm struggling with. I don't see him burning me. If I saw him burning me, then you'd be a lot more scared not to have him in. But the reason that I'm considering him a little bit more, and I don't know whether I'm thinking about this too much, but does the change in rules help a player like Brodie Smith who kicks long? Like, he just seems like that prime kick-out taker with the change in rules and getting that extra sort of 5-meter buffer. So, yeah, he has averaged 95 or 94 previously in the season, albeit sort of 5 years ago now. Yeah. I can see the temptation, and I know we're getting chastised for it amongst our community, so clearly a lot of people are not going there.
No, this is just one of those examples, I think, Marcus, where you have the loud minority, because obviously a whole bunch of people are picking him, and I'm imagining there's quite a few good coaches that are picking him. It's just that there's a bunch of people that are really sure why they shouldn't be picking him.
All right, mate. How about Callum Mills? He's actually fairly unique after starting in quite a lot of preseason teams. After the two JLT games, he's averaging a point per minute on ground. He scored 106 and 93.
Yeah.
Second highest averaging super coach player for the Sydney Swans across the JLT. The talks that he's going to move into the midfield, and that's why we should be picking him. And his JLT form sort of indicates that should be good enough to make his way into our teams, but he hasn't quite made his way into many teams. Do you sort of see a reason for that? Are you considering him at all?
Well, he was probably one of the first picks that I had in my team early in the preseason. And then JLT1, he played midfield. JLT2, Lloyd was a laid out, and he actually went back to defence and still scored really well, just played a lot of minutes on the ground. I do think that he's going to have a bigger role this year. I do think this is the right year to pick Callum Mills. Last year was a year too early. I think he's a really, really good selection. He is like next cab off the rank for me. It's just, is he 100,000 better than Brodie Smith? And where do I get that 100,000 from? They're the questions that I'm playing with.
So still a fairly high contender by the sounds of things. And
really high contender. I would love to have him in my team. I think he's a really, really good selection.
And I suppose these are the sort of last-minute selections that a lot of coaches will be making. The final couple of players that you're playing around with in terms of structure, do you swing, if you have a more type, him down back or up forward, whether you take that last premium. So a lot of these final decisions still to be made, but good to know that he's still in your consideration set, mate. All right, let's get on to some actual rookies now. The way I've structured it is to break it down by position, and we're only going to chat about the rookies that have been selected in over 20% of teams at time of recording. Let's start off with the backline and Sam Collins at 189K in 31% of teams, formerly played for Fremantle, a mature age player in, I think about 24 years old. He scored 93 in JLT1, 52 in JLT2, and he absolutely dominated the VFL in terms of marks. He was the top intercept marker in the VFL last year and can score a fair bit of points. When he played for Fremantle, he did have a couple of games in the hundreds, including a 126. He seems like a fairly obvious lock mark and worth that extra bit of coin. He's the type of rookie you want on field.
I think the only concern with Collins is that Thompson's gone down and May has left, so maybe he might have to play a bit more lockdown. But mature age, 189, he's one of the first picked in my team under 200,000, if not the first pick.
Next bloke, Jack Scrimshaw, 150K at 29% of teams. Another bloke who has crossed teams. He got traded to Hawthorn from the Suns. A former top 10 draft pick available at 150K. He scored 68 in JLT1, 78 in JLT2, and looks to be in a majority of teams at the moment.
Yep, the only concern for me was that he completely dominated quarter one of JLT2 and then barely touched it after that. So I'm not sure what his fitness is like, but yeah, if he's named round one, he's an absolute lock.
Next bloke, Jordan Clark at 144K playing for my Catters in 38% of teams. So actually more highly picked than Collins and Scrimshaw, which is a bit surprising. He's
price, I guess.
87 points in JLT1, 67 points in JLT2. Considered a bit of a slider because Western Australian team didn't have a pick before. Jordan got snapped up by Geelong and so doesn't have a higher price tag, thankfully. What are your thoughts on Jordan, Mark?
I'm interested to hear your thoughts a bit, mate. I guess it's just about, is there a spot for him in the Cats side? Like, does he keep Colajazny out? What happens when Tui comes back in a couple of weeks? I'm just not sure that Constable, Atkins, and Clark are Geelong likely to play three rookies, like, straight up. And can Clark keep his spot? I guess if he performs well, then he will. He looked great over the JLT. I think you have to pick him if he's named round one. Just some job security concerns there.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. I think our backline's so stacked. Like, we lost Taylor and Henderson last year, and so Blitzarves, Henry, and Colajazny all stood up. Now, Taylor and Henderson come back in. How does that sort of all fit together? And then you've still got Jeb Bewes, who's injured, who you'd think would come in. Zach Tui hasn't played the JLT games, but he's due to come back pretty early on in the season. So absolutely, job security is a concern. And even if Jordan's named round one, I don't think that means that he's a shoo-in to stay in the team. Having said that, Geelong, when they spend on their first round draft pick and don't trade it out, they actually tend to give those kids games fairly early on and fairly consistently. I had my doubts on Fogarty last year and they just continued playing him. From what I've seen from Clark so far, I hope they play the kid, even if he doesn't play down back, play him anywhere on field. Beautiful mark, kicks the ball well. Like, I want them to play him.
I'm pretty sure he's going to be named round one, mate. It's just whether he can keep up.
At 144K, would you take that risk, even if he's named round one then?
Yeah, and I guess you're starting to get into tricky territory here because you've got Collins 189, Scrimshaw 150, Clark 144, and so all that extra money adds up. But yeah, I think you've still got to pick him.
Yeah, he's in my team at the moment. I don't need more excuses to pick a Geelong player. So next player, Marty Hoare, 117K, picked in 38% of teams. So a cheap rookie in the back line for one. Another mature age player that played in the VFL. He was actually behind Sam Collins in terms of that intercept tall key position defender in the VFL last year and was pretty lucrative in that role. Scored 57 in JLT1, 69 in JLT2. And even though he's playing for Melbourne, their key position defensive stocks are decent, but not completely locked down, especially with Tom McDonald swinging forward. And he seems to have found his space in a team, Mark, which would have been a surprise to me when he initially got drafted, but good on him.
Yeah, I think with Lever out, I think he's out for at least half the season. There's a spot for him if you can take it. I guess it's going to be interesting because May won't play round one because he's suspended, so you would expect Hoare to be named sort of no matter what. And then it'll be interesting to see whether he's named round two. So I guess if it doesn't work out, you can correct. But given his mature age, cheap price, you just got to pick him.
All right, Mark, now we'll move into the midfield. I'll leave the DPP players for last. So we've got Dersma as an example that you can pick in the back line, but we'll leave him for later. Let's go into the midfield where we've got Sam Walsh, 207K, 67% picked. This is a Supercoach show, so I don't want to sort of go in too much about how good this kid looks, but just pick him, right?
Just pick him. Move on.
Just pick him. All right, Zach Butters, 158K, picked in 32% of teams. This kid in the JLT has just oozed class. It does not look like AFL level is past what he's used to. Like, it looks like he just slots in perfectly, averaging 86.5 in his first two JLT games. He comes with that price premium, but he's definitely almost a 80% to start on my team, Mark.
Yeah, I guess I keep saying lock, and he's not like a super lock, but like, yeah. If you've got rookies that look like they're going to score okay based on JLT form and pedigree, and they are priced and like they are priced well enough, like, you've just kind of got to pick him, and he's one of those guys, I think. So yeah, he's in my team.
We are talking about only the blokes that are in above 20% of teams at the moment, and they're highly selected for a reason. So we've got to lock a fair few rookies on field so we can pick these premiums. So, yeah. Well, next bloke, Charlie Constable, another Geelong player, 124K in 38% of teams as well. He's a second-year player, considered a bit of a slider when he was drafted last year, applied his craft
like
in
every
the VFL.
Single pick that Geelong ever takes, according to you.
92 in JLT1, 61 JLT2. Last year was named by Chris Scott as on the cusp so many times, and we're thankful that he didn't debut so we can pick him as a low-priced player. Having said that, the Geelong team, you know, we just got Dalhouse and Rowan as well. Like, it feels fairly congested. A lot of people are saying that he's a shoe-in for a debut, but in the longer term, I do have question marks about whether or not he'll stay in the team. Mark, yeah. Is he in yours?
No, I think the question really is Atkins or Constable. Like, I'm not sure that you can start both of them, especially if you're starting Clark, because the chances of Geelong having like three rookies plus Rowan and Dalhouse, like you say, like, that seems a little bit far-fetched that that's going to continue to be the case in 5 weeks. I guess it could be that they did play a few rookies last year. And who would you take out of Atkins and Constable? At the moment, I've got Atkins, mature ager, role player ahead of Constable.
I would probably take Constable ahead of Atkins. I think Constable plays that midfield role, whereas Atkins plays more that small forward role. And so I think in terms of spots that have been threatened from 2018 to 2019, it's that forward spot that actually is under a bit more threat. You've got Rowan and Dalhouse both slotting in the forward line. And when they've been interviewed, they're basically saying we're playing in the forward line. So they're not hoping for that midfield time. You've got Quinton Narkle as well, who last year had a fair run of games after returning from an ACL. And you've got Nakia Cockatoo, who should come back into the team at some stage as well. So
yeah, I wouldn't be relying on that.
That's a fair point. But I just think in terms of congestion, that small forward spot, we've seen probably two additions, and then if some of these younger kids can stay injury-free.
So you'd say like Dangerfield, Selwood, Duncan, Tim Kelly, Ablett, Menegola. There's no crowding in the midfield, mate?
There's definitely crowding in the midfield as well. But as with the talented midfielders, they seem to like to transition them around the ground so that they can keep them in the team and keep that midfield depth and just try and use them as flexible players. Joel Selwood, for example, I got fairly annoyed with last year when they moved him into the back line. Tim Kelly might spend more time in the forward line this year. So the midfield, even though there's congestion, is potentially a bit more flexible with where some of the competing players might be able to play. Whereas they've basically said, Rowan, Dalhouse, you're playing up forward.
And Ablett.
And Ablett. Let's move to the next player then. Bailey Scott at 117K in 22% of teams. Father-son draft pick, scored 59 in JLT1, 89 in JLT2. Bottom price player, Mark, what do you reckon?
Big fan of Bailey Scott. Probably had to have him ahead of the Geelong boys. Played pretty low time on ground in the JLT, but looked really good in the time on ground that he got. My only concern is playing for the Kangaroos, they haven't had a great record of giving their rookies a lot of midfield time, and I think Scott would need that. So if he gets games and he's picked round one, he is definitely going to be in my side.
I didn't not have him sort of that high up in the calculations, Mark. So interesting to hear that. I might have to go and rewatch some of those JLT games with the Bulldogs playing. There are quite a few rookies available in the midfield this year. And with some of the forward premiums being a little bit harder to pick this year, and the amount of backline rookies available as well, it's looking like we might not actually be selecting a huge amount of midfield rookies, considering we already get three on the bench. And so if you're only having a couple, two, three midfield rookies on field, a Bailey Scott type would fit quite well in terms of sitting on the bench. You don't want to spend too much money on the bench. You don't want to be putting a Zach Butters type, for example, sitting on your bench. So if it comes down to having a fairly heavy premium midfield, Bailey Scott might sort of fit quite well sitting on the bench as well.
Yep.
Next bloke, Nick Hind at 117K in 21% of teams, scored 52 in JLT1, 29 in JLT2. So not brilliant scores, but he is that mature age player, Mark. Another, I counted 5, 6, 7 23-year-olds that we're considering as mature age rookies this year. So that's a positive. Playing for St Kilda is potentially a little bit of a concern because they might get a little bit less of the pie as compared to a team who's hot in contention for the top eight.
Yeah, I am a big fan of Hind because he won the Bombers VFL, the prelim final last year, basically off his own boot, running from half back. Bit of pace, he can get around players. He has a good kick on him. Really concerned by his scoring in the first JLTs, the first two JLTs, and his time on ground was really low. I guess Robertson going down, maybe there's a spot for him. He's been in my preseason side all preseason based on the prelim final last year, but has recently come out. So, yeah, a bit worried on whether he gets picked and a bit worried on his scoring. I don't think he's a terrible option there.
All right, next player on the list is actually Tom Atkins, but we have briefly touched on him. So 113K, because we didn't mention the price tag before, did average 70 across the two JLT games and did break the VFL record for tackles last year with 23 tackles. So even though I've sort of discounted him a bit then previously, he is still a decent chance of making the round one side, especially with Narkle out, who's probably the other sort of similar player fighting for that same spot. Next player, Michael Gibbons at 102K. He's in 39% of teams. So one of the most highly selected rookies. And big reason for that would just be his price tag. 102K is very, very tasty. One of the late pre-season supplementary selections. Scored 68 in JLT1, 34 in JLT2. So that was slightly more disappointing because he still played a fairly high time on ground. Playing as a small forward for Carlton definitely concerns me, though.
Yeah. And he kicked 3 goals against the Bombers. I think it was in like one quarter. And based on his scores, he hasn't done much else other than that in the two games. So, yeah, that is a bit of a concern. He's a midfielder. He's a good at racking the ball up, and but he's playing as a small forward. So I think at 102,000, if he's named round one, given his mature age, you just have to pick him and hope he gets a bit of mid-time at some stage or snags a few goals and makes some money. If he's named, I just think at the price, you just have to pick him.
Hmm. Don't think he's a worse selection than a high Atkins Constable type. So don't disagree with that. 39% just seems a tad high. I think there's a bit more question marks than just sort of locking him away. In the rucks now, Mark, where we thought we sort of would have riches to pick from, and over the jails.
I remember some people talking about an all-rookie ruck line at one point during the preseason with Zach Clark and Smith and Port and just having an absolute heaps of options to pick from, but it hasn't worked out that way.
No, and that tends to be the case, I think. As the preseason goes on, those big, mature rucks who have the number one position seem to be pretty good at keeping it and running out of entire AFL season as a mature ruck is tough enough. Zachy Clark at 143K is in 23% of teams. He scored 89 in JLT1 but did not play JLT2.
As far as I know, he was injured JLT2.
Short-termer?
Well, the interesting part is that with Joey Danaher injuring his calf and being out for up to 6 weeks, I think he's probably 50-50 for selection, maybe even better for that going into round one. And that means it's going to be an interesting dilemma come Thursday and Friday this week when Zach Clark is picked or might be picked, and is that you're going to have to find that extra 40,000 to put him into your team because he's 145 or something. And realistically, like, he'll be out as soon as Joe comes back. So is Joe out for a full 6 weeks? Is it longer than that? If it's longer than that, you'd pick Zach in a second, I think. Is Sean McKernan a real threat for him? Because Zach Clark sort of is more ruckman than forward. So, yeah, it was very much out of calculations until Joe did his injury. Now he's sort of in them a little bit. I don't know. Like, I picked English last year. Did you have English last year?
Yep. And loved it.
Yeah, loved it. But I think that a lot of people didn't have English and they had that, like, a loophole player in their rucks. And I don't think that they lost out a heap to English. Like, there's a lot of luck involved with that player in the ruck. And I think that, like, they have to be playing the week that your one of your ruckman misses. So, yeah, having the loophole player is not the end of the world there.
If you had to compromise an on-field selection in order to bring Clark in as a R3 that could fill in and can go up in value, how do you evaluate that?
Yeah, that seems pretty unlikely that I would do that, I think.
Compromise the on-field selection.
Yeah. From Clark. Realistically, like, even if Clark is picked this week, I'm unlikely to pick him, depending on whether I just have some cash sitting around.
I will try to pick him, but like you said, if it's compromising something on-field, then it's probably not a step that you want to take. Ultimately, you should put all your eggs in the on-field basket and not rely on sort of something going wrong or rely on the extra value you can get from an additional rookie to win you the game. You want to try and score points, as many points as you can from day dot. Darcy Ford.
Not a chance of making my team. Like, gone from 100% lock 6 weeks ago to 0% chance of making my team, pretty much even if he's named this week.
Yeah.
Which I find very unlikely.
Yeah, 21 in JLT1, 13 in JLT2. Like, does not look ready for AFL. Like, I'm shocked that they were talking about him. When you watch him on field, you're like, this dude's way too skinny and he's not doing anything. Not going to make my team.
Who's sitting at R2 for you at the moment? Oh, R3, sorry, R3.
So I'm actually looking at a ruck forward loophole player so that if I bring in a Westhoff or whatever type down the track or Lob somehow does brilliantly, I have them as options.
Okay. So have you got a name there? Or?
So there's Bynes, who's a ruck forward, 102K playing for West Coast.
Yep.
And there's Schlensog, ruck forward, 102K playing for Geelong.
Yeah. Okay, yep, I'm probably likely to start one of those two guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, off the ruckman now, Mark, and into the forward line, we've got Jack Petrocelli, 124K in 22% of teams. I think was this the guy who actually went backwards in price off his starting rookie price tag? Like, he just struggled so much last year, looked so slight. As I understand it, is not even a big disposal getter to begin with, so it didn't help that when he did bloody finally get the ball in AFL, he just was mobbed on and didn't seem able to do much. But 43 in JLT1 and showed flashes and then sort of delivered a bit better in JLT2 Supercoach wise and scored 87 points. Commentators especially talking him up a fair bit. You can see why in spurts, his ability to make space and be an option in that forward 50 as a small was pretty impressive. And he had some pretty good kicks inside 50 as well on the half forward flank. Good. Where do you have him, mate?
Well, I think he's really hard to get a read on. Second year, I think that means that you're probably a lot more likely to pick him at that price. Didn't score a lot in JLT1, but sort of 43 off 62 minutes is kind of okay. My concern would be that the 87 in JLT2, almost all of those points came in the second half against Fremantle, when Fremantle were basically like just witches hats, which allowed him a bit of extra space to run around. And he did have some effective kicks inside the 50 and do some cool stuff. But I don't think there was a heap of pressure on him doing that. So, yeah, I think he's one that's really, really hard to get a read on, to be completely honest. If named, would be it's still a pretty decent chance of making my team just because, like, there's not a whole lot of competition for forward rookie spots.
I think the other thing that really helps out is when you're playing that sort of role, you need your team to be smashing it. Like if he was playing for Carlton, you just strike him off your list now. But playing for a grand final contender and the team who hopefully should be fighting again pretty hard for that top eight, top four spot, he'll get more opportunities by virtue of just being in a team that wins the ball for him and might use him on the outside a little bit. So, yeah, I have question marks, but is in my team at the moment.
Okay, not in my team at the moment.
Noah Bolter at 124K as well. Another second-year player in 22% of teams. Again, playing for another top four contender in Richmond. Scored 104 in JLT1, and that's what really took a lot of people's eyes early on. Yeah. The amount of times I've heard Bolter for our Supercoach team is not funny. And JLT2 scored 52. They're saying that he's got Ivan Soldo beat because of his flexibility around ground, and so can be a good foil to Nan Curvis, who struggles to run out a full season playing number one ruck.
I know Sean Griggs injured at the moment, and they sort of there was discussions about he would be less likely to be second ruck this year anyway. Lynch has been injured, so they're unlikely to want to play him in the ruck. I think there's I'm finding it really hard to get a read on Bolter, and I don't probably have a very reliable opinion. Good chance he'll be named game one, but I really don't feel confident predicting his role in the Richmond lineup going forward and what will happen. Yeah, I probably can't offer a whole lot of great opinion on him, unfortunately.
If name round one, I guess that's a better way to deal with it.
Yeah, look, it depends on the other guys, really, because at the moment, I have my forward rookies set up in a way that I'm really happy with, and he isn't one of them.
I have him behind Petrucelian.
Yep.
Matthew Parker at 117K. He's in more teams at 35%, so hopefully we got a bit more confidence on this bloke. 117K, as I mentioned, which is good, but JLT1 scored only the 61 and JLT2 the 36. And that was off 75% game time, which is a little bit concerning. Small forward for St. Kilda as well is also not ideal, but he is a mature age player. Having played in the Waffle last year, I think he kicked about 40 goals. He's 187 centimeters and obviously fairly built up by now as a 23, 24-year-old. So should be able to transition pretty easily into AFL.
Yeah, and that's the reasons why he's picked, not because of his scoring in the JLT. He just has good reviews coming in. Seems like one of the players that has a higher job security for Saints going forward into the year. So wouldn't be in love with playing him on field, but happy enough to select him.
Next bloke, Brett Bewley, 117K as well in 22% of teams, playing for Fremantle, scored 48 in JLT1 and then 16 in JLT2. Both times he only got 40% game time or thereabouts, and that probably has him struck off most lists.
Yeah, I think that Bolter and Petrucelli are ahead of him because of that.
Mm-hmm. All right, to some DPP players now, and there are a few good DPP options, which is really allowing us to be a bit more flexible with our potential team structures heading into team sheets and into lockout. And we'll start with a defensive midfielder for Port Adelaide. They seem to have so many rookies that have been making their team this year. And he's Xavier Dersma, 131K, picked in 34% of teams, scored 40 in JLT1 and 78 in JLT2. In a lot of teams at the moment. Mark, is he in yours as well?
100%. Love the flexibility of being able to play two positions. Not that those positions are likely to have a lot of transfer this year, but yeah, if picked, looks the goods in my team.
Same. I love picking DPP players when we can, even with rookies, and even if you don't have the link-up player, because it just allows you flexibility when you're trading as well. So if you're Dersma in your midfield and you're trading out a backline player, all of a sudden you can trade him to a midfielder as well. And that's really helpful for correction trades, for early upgrades, for trying to just do nifty things. And it comes up more than you would expect. So yeah, a tick for me. Next bloke is also fairly locked, if not one of the most selected players at the moment. Will Setterfield, 145K in 64% of teams. JLT1 almost cemented him into most sides, scoring 113, followed up with a 60 in JLT2.
The only reason why I wouldn't pick him is because I'm shattered that the Bombers didn't pick him up in the draft period last year. He may turn out to be better than Dylan Scheel.
Wow, big calls, mate. Big calls. All right. Well, I guess we all got to start him then. How about Willem Drew again? Another Port Adelaide rookie in 31% of teams at the moment. I guess we should have had Dunny on this show. a forward midfielder who scored 77 in JLT1 and an 88 in JLT2. What do you know about Willem, mate?
I know that he's in my Supercoach team and he won't be leaving if he's picked. If he's picked round one, so I don't think that's all that I need to know, really, isn't it?
That's kind of where I'm at with him too. Is he a second-year player or something like that, third-year player?
I know that he is missing a letter in his name.
All right, to a bloke.
Just with those scores and Port Adelaide saying that he's going to play, like, you just got to pick him. It sort of doesn't matter the rest of it.
The next bloke, is this the fourth guy that we're talking about with Port Adelaide? I think it is.
Yeah.
Yep, and they're saying they're all going to get the games. And yeah. Connor Rozee at 189K in 20% of the teams. Man, he shows flashes of brilliance. Yeah. 41 in JLT1, 44 in JLT2. So flashy, but not a big accumulator and consistent accumulator at the moment. You'd kind of be looking for a higher scoring with that sort of price tag, unfortunately.
Yep, 100% agree with that, mate. It'd be nice to like sort of link him up with maybe a Burgess or a Moore, but just at that price, it's really hard to pick a player that is sort of more flashy.
Now, the other bloke you just mentioned, Burgess, is the last rookie that we have up to chat about. He's also, as you mentioned, a defensive forward at 124K in 32% of teams playing for Gold Coast. JLT1 scored 68 points. JLT2, he scored 15 points, Mark.
Yes.
86% game time.
That's so right.
Yeah, he is a key tall who can swing back and forward. And I hope in the Gold Coast team he spends more time playing back. What do you reckon about Burgess, mate? He looks to be fairly locked into quite a few teams, especially those who are tempted by a Darcy Moore.
Yeah, and with Thompson going down, I think it just helps his job security. I think he was recruited for a reason. There's a really good chance he'll get games. He got plenty of minutes in the JLT, just unfortunately didn't use them all that effectively. But I think if you're picking Darcy Moore, you have to pick Burgess or Rosie. Like, I just think that it makes doesn't really matter what he scores, just the incentive to pick him goes up like a really, really significant amount. So if you're not picking Moore, then there's probably better options, like depending on what position you're looking at, but there would be better options. But yeah, I think that if you got more, then I would be 100% locking Burgess in, maybe even if he's not picked round one.
Wow. And having that floating loophole play, Mark.
Potentially, yeah. Because like realistically, it's so hard to get the rookies right early. So if you have a player where you can switch Moore and him around and take the best rookie scores, then across two lines, then that can be quite a useful thing to be able to do.
Awesome. All right. Now we're done with the rookies, Mark. And I've just got a few cheap players who are rookie-ish price that I want to cover before we wrap up the show. But before we get into them, I just want to mention that there were a couple of players that people would have been looking at in terms of starting in their Supercoach teams. They've since gotten injured, so don't forget to cross them off your lists and pull them out of your teams. Dylan Robertson, unfortunately, even though it was looking really good, is out for the season with a continuation of that heart issue that he had last year, that irregular heartbeat. And Joey Danaher, who you've already referenced in the show. Done his calf, so not the groin, but the calf, and that's putting him out for 6 weeks. And I was actually going to start him, Mark, after the first two JLT games. So a bit sad about both of those.
Okay.
They're in the price bracket I love.
Yep, under 300,000. Yep, it's a bit sad.
We got three other options now, though, that we'll chat about will tempt us in. And the first one is a bloke that we've already referenced in Darcy Moore to pair up with the Burgess option, 239K. Stephen Ben, one of our patrons, has asked, in earlier podcasts, we're a bit dismissive of Darcy Moore as an option, but given that Robertson is out and there's a lack of reliable, cheap rookie forwards, is he now a valuable swing player with Burgess? He scored 79 in JLT1, 97 in JLT2. And even though you hate the look of him, Mark, I'm guessing he's crept his way into your team too.
Yes, Travis Cloak, Mark 2, is in the team. And those who listened to the Patreon show last week would know that already. I reckon, as much as I hate him, he's a really obvious pick. And I really hope that he doesn't do well because I don't want to start liking him.
He's in my team as well. I think the flexibility and the neatness that you get from the pairing with Burgess is pretty cool. And so he's in my team for that
taking
reason
the
as
kick
well.
Kickouts, getting a bunch of ball for Collingwood down back. Like, is it, as long as he doesn't get injured, things should turn out all right. But he did get injured, I think, in game 3 times last year. So he could screw you over.
Not just the kick-ins, but as an intercept marker, that's kind of what you're looking for with key position defenders. That's when they get a heap of the points and more marks it like a forward in the back line. He really charges for the ball, less of a puncher. So he's definitely got that in his favor. Now, Jordan Ridley, Mark, in the back line at 233K as an Essendon player, 97 and 94 in his first 2 JLT games. And he looked really good.
He did.
Kicked long, took good marks under pressure. Is he in your team?
He's not, mate. I felt like he was playing
passing
up the ground.
Up an Essendon player? Come on.
I felt like he was probably playing up the ground a bit during the JLT. He was named in the midfield for JLT too, and I just like that's just not going to happen during the regular season. I think that there's definitely a spot for him in the back line. We've got McKenna and Saad as the fast-running distributors, but McKenna is probably the best kick out of our defence. And Ridley would sort of be that third distributor, fourth defender behind Francis and Hurley and Hooker or Hooker's replacement. So, look, with Gleeson out, I think there's a spot for him. Not totally sure what his scoring is going to be. We did see that he can definitely get a bunch of possessions last year. I like the look of him. I'm not sure I like his price tag a lot. I think that...
You're tempted into Smith over Ridley, Mark, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, because I just think that there's... a second-year player with potentially low job security or medium job security. There's a lot of risks with that sort of player, and it's very rare that that player becomes a really, really good pick. So he'd have to average 80-plus, get up to 400,000 for you to be like, yeah, I'm so glad I started Ridley. So I'm not sure that he's that capable of doing that.
All right, now I'm concerned. I mean, an Essendon fan saying that. Ridley has been sneaking his way into my team, to be honest.
I also said last year, Ridley will never play VFL again. After watching him against Richmond, and then he picked up an injury the following week, and I don't think he came back into the senior team the rest of the year. So
I remember
I've
that.
I've been known to be wrong on Ridley before.
Yeah, I picked him 1 week early, thanks to that, Mark. So,
well, I was kind of right, like... I saw the talent.
All right, next bloke, similar sort of profile, 220K, but a midfielder instead in Hawthorne's team, but James Cousins, 101 in JLT1, 73 in JLT2. A lot of people also pumping his tires up a bit because Tom Mitchell went down.
Yep, there's a few people going in there for the Hawks. I think it's a bit unclear about who's really going to get that mid time. Cousins, depending on your structure and how much money you can afford to spend on these rookies. Like, I don't think it's necessary to spend that much money on Cousins. I'd probably rather just get Libra in for sort of 70 or 80,000 more because he's someone that, like, is a genuine chance of becoming a premium and holding for the rest of the year, whereas Cousins just seems like a really expensive rookie. And if he averages 75, 80, you'd be pretty upset with that, I think. So he's a no for me, mate.
Yeah, same, especially with the number of high-priced rookies. If you have the extra cash to splash, I could see taking a punt on him. I don't think he's super high-risk pick. Like, he just might not work out as well as you'd like. But if you have the extra sort of 30, 40K, he's not the worst sort of selection to top up on and get somebody who you might have a little bit more confidence with.
And on exposed form, like, we have an intra-club and 2 JLTs, he's done really, really well. So, like, it's hard to argue against him a lot, but... yeah, I really, really won't be making my team, put it that way.
All right, Mark, we've reached the end of our preseason series. Before we wrap up, just a quick recap on sort of any front of mind thoughts post-JLT, anything that's changed drastically for you since we did our initial positional shows.
Interesting. Probably because we did Defenders last, not as much has changed. Because that's where probably over the preseason my team has actually changed the most, just because the rookies seem
to... leaving it last was okay.
Well, actually, the rucks, I guess, have changed more than anything. But the defense, just the rookies seem to have shown up there. And we have always had a motto on this show, which is follow the rookies. Like, you want to sort of pick those value premiums if you really like them in certain spots. But the rookies should really determine the structure of your team and where you're comfortable putting them. And this year, the back line, and it's been pretty common for the last few years, really, the back line does seem to be the best place to be putting the rookies. The forward line, which has also been a bit of a pattern, is probably the scariest place to have rookies on field. But maybe even this year, there might be a bit more of a balance across the three lines than we've seen in recent years, and you might be able to do that. So, yeah, that's probably the biggest change structurally. But I think that probably the biggest change for my team is Tom Rockliffe. Like, I don't know what to do. At 405,000, I'm really struggling not to pick him, even though he completely ruined my season last year. I'm sort of trying to, like, put that out of my mind and think, like, why did I pick this guy? Wow. Things like Libba ruined my season last year.
Yeah.
Like, how do I overcome that and still pick him this year? Yeah. Goldstein, like, was a big factor in my season last year. Like, he may be actually up for a good year. I think Petrarca could be his year. Like, there's a whole bunch of players like that I picked last year that ruined me, that I kind of have negative connotations towards. But Rocky, maybe the one that sneaks through out of those guys into the team at 405,000. He scored 170. Like, that's the Rocky that we know and love. 50 off 60% game time in round one. No Wines in the team for the first part of the year. Could go on a sick run. Yeah, and that, he was, like, not even on my radar at all when we did the midfield show, which I think was at the first show that we did. So, yeah, that's probably the biggest change for my team over the preseason. And, yeah, getting F3 and F4 right is sort of tricky as well.
Still a nightmare, that one. Yeah, Rocky is definitely rocketing up the ownership stats after his massive game. To be frank, Libba's another one who I've got right hot in contention as well. He did an ACL, right? Like, it's not like a soft tissue injury or whatever. It's like, if you come back from that and you can go up and... He's at the 300K boundary, right? As opposed to Rockliffe. Like, Rockliffe, ideally, you try and hold on to him and finish him at M8. Like, if you had to trade out a bloke at 300K in Libba, that's not the end of the world as well. I'm finding some of those mid-price options very tempting late.
Yeah, I was pretty anti-Libba, I think, when we did the mid-price show, and have been most of the preseason. He's just cheap enough where, like, he's just cheap enough that he is very tempting. If he was 380 coming off an ACL, like, I wouldn't even consider him compared to Rockliffe and Brad Crouch. Just because, like, I know that you said that it shouldn't hamper him going forward, but players do seem to struggle coming back from an ACL. They missed a full year of footy. And Libba's missed a couple of years in the last few years. Yeah, interesting. And do you pick, like, a couple of players coming back from serious injuries?
Sounds like there's still a little bit of pondering to do, especially around the mid-price risk that we're tempted into late in the piece.
No, actually. I've been really firm on getting these mid-prices out of my team, and it's only because I'm talking to you that I'm even considering this crap.
Yes!
And listeners, you should not listen to Marcus. You should go Gundam Rookies. Don't buy into this crap. And, go with your gut. Yeah, Marcus is an idiot.
All right, Mark, I just want to say a big thanks to you, mate, for the preseason series. It's, as always, helps me for my team going through the process of chatting and sort of discussing the different options with you. So, thanks for another preseason, mate, and I hope our listeners enjoyed it.
And thanks for trying to make my team worse.
You're welcome. Last plug before we wrap up. We will be releasing a team picker for our Supercoach Coach Patreon. So we give you a template from sort of who we think the locks are and who you should be picking from in those remaining positions. So it's a bit of a template if you want to get our sort of final stamp on how you should build your team. It has been a fairly good blueprint for success moving forward. So don't forget, you can jump on to patreon.com/supercoachcoach to support us, unlock 6 bonus episodes and a team picker if you're so inclined. And as well as that, our Supercoach Coach Discord, links for that are available via our Patreon page and also via the forum. If you're not sure where to find it, you can also email us or reach us via our social media channels via direct message, and we'll let you know where that is. Discord is a live chat application, sort of like a message board, and I think will be really, really useful for post-team sheets. So if you're looking to get some last-minute thoughts on how you should change your team or what the rookie selections are doing to your team, hop onto our Discord channel to get involved. And again, our patrons have a private channel as a little bonus as well if you're a silver tier member. So get involved. All right. And with that, we will sign off and we will see you the other side of lockout. Good luck, everyone.
See you guys. Don't want this get crazy. Don't want this get crazy. Let's get